Hello and welcome to Essential Sounds. This is the third in a series of podcasts devoted to underground and non-mainstream musicians working in a home recording kind of way. And that theme was actually something I recorded about 15 years ago. And the reason why I have it here is because due to popular demand rather than any kind of ego, I'm going to do a couple shows focused on my own music. And for today, actually, I'm going to focus on my acoustic guitar playing, and in another episode, I might focus on my instrumental music, which is electric, and might even focus on some of the music of my home recording alter ego from the 80s and 90s, Bagidi. Again, folks have been asking to hear a little bit more about where I'm coming from and what I've done as a guitarist, and essentially at the heart of everything I do has been as an acoustic guitarist. That is the core of what I am as a musician. It's the first instrument that I was really gravitated toward and wanted to learn how to play. My first guitar was an acoustic guitar. It was a nylon string acoustic guitar, and I've had an acoustic guitar or several acoustic guitars in my life ever since. I actually came to guitar pretty late in life, as far as most people's development goes. I actually started playing guitar when I was in my late teens. And so I had a lot of catching up to do with all of my peers and where I wanted to be as a musician. So what I did is I got a chord book, and the chord book was organized alphabetically. So the first chords in the book were A major, A minor, and A7. And, you know, as a beginner, those chords in the first position were fine. The second chord was a B major, and at that point, that was in way over my head. If you're a guitar player, you know that, you know, a B major at the second fret full bar chord is pretty rough on a beginner. So I was frustrated enough to just start experimenting with open tunings, as it was seemed something a little bit easier. And that's something I didn't stick with for too long. I realized that I'm going to have to figure out the right way to play, or at least something in me told me I had to figure out the right way to play. However, those open tunings were something I was going to return to later as a guitar player, and a big part of what I do now. So early on, I felt like I wanted to be a pretty complete guitar player, and some of the things I had been listening to at that time included the guitarist for Yes, Steve Howe, who was a guy who could play pretty much a little bit of any kind of style, and he could play Chet Atkins style, he could play jazz, rockabilly, rock and roll, psychedelic kind of stuff, and he could play classical guitar. And that was something that was really interesting to me. And also some of the folk and blues players, acoustic folk and blues players, the people recording for the Tacoma Records label, John Fahey, Robbie Bashaw, Leo Kottke were players that I heard early on too. And I really knew at that point that the guitar by itself was capable of presenting a full picture, sort of like a so-called lap piano. And that was something I really wanted to do. So I dove in on the deep end and started trying to teach myself how to play classical guitar, or maybe even classical sounding guitar. And I worked through or struggled through a couple, you know, rudimentary pieces, and I sort of had an interest in that, and I started trying to write a few pieces that I could play. In other words, writing classical style or classical sounding pieces that would fall well under my own fingers. And here I'd like to play a recording of one of the earliest recordings I have of my own guitar playing, and I'm in this case playing a sort of a classical sounding serenade on a nylon string guitar. This is something I wrote in the key of G major, and then I wrote a variation on the thing in E minor, a relative minor key. So here's Serenade and Variation, recorded to boombox in the early 80s. So forgive the sound quality. Thank you. that was a serenade and variation, the first things I ever wrote for guitar. And as you can hear, I was trying to put together some sort of complete picture on guitar as I was learning about it and how to play it and how to create music on it. Classical music on the guitar has really never been something that was at the forefront of my interests. I wanted to be able to make something that, I don't know, seemed a little more personal to me. And not long after I was getting to understand standard tuning a little bit, I went back to playing around with open tunings. Open tunings I had heard in, again, the guitar work of people like Leo Kottke and John Fahey, Robbie Basho, and country blues guitarists. And I really like the idea of open tunings. And for those of you who aren't guitar players, that is where the strings are tuned so that without pushing down any notes on the frets, you have something that sounds like a chord or maybe a drone by tuning notes in to unisons and octaves. And essentially, the technique is that you could essentially play on one string or several strings and create melodies quite easily against a full-sounding chord structure. Anyway, so I started messing around with open tunings, but at this point I was still composing music. Here's an early piece in open tuning that I wrote called April 4, and it was recorded on April 4th, 1985. That was April 4, a tune I wrote many years ago in an open tuning, one of the first open tuning songs that I put together on guitar. I want to get out of the past and bring up to more contemporary times in my playing here. And something that happened along the way as I got away from composing music, I really wanted to be able to improvise. I felt that for me, that was the way I wanted to be able to express myself. I wanted to be able to be in the moment and to be able to create meaningful, or hopefully meaningful, music in the moment, and still work with things that I had learned in the past. So essentially, if you can hear this, I'm primarily a finger-style player. That is, I don't use flat pick, really, in my solo guitar playing. It's all with the fingers. And that way I can hopefully keep melody, bass, and moving voices on the inside going at the same time, this sort of juggling act. I wanted to be able to improvise music, and the next pieces that I'll include in the show here today are pieces that have been 100% improvised. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're always free and abstract sounding, though sometimes they can be. I wanted to be able to improvise according to my own wishes, and one of my wishes was to improvise music in the style of the American primitive guitar players, folks that I've mentioned before. John Fahey, Robbie Basho, Leo Kottke, the sort of three cornerstones of the Tacoma Records label. And John Fahey, and personally, is the sort of innovator of the so-called American primitive guitar style that is taking rural musics of folk and blues in America and giving it the attention of music worthy of the concert stage. This is a piece of music that I improvised on a 12-string guitar for my record Vermis. This is Centipede. Was Centipede from Vermis. You can hear birds chirping in the back room there, reminding all of you folks at home that I am a home recordist. Vermis was an important record for me in a lot of levels. It was the first time I had done a complete record of free improvisation on a variety of acoustic instruments, and it did include a couple guitar solos, Centipede being one of them. It also included what, for me personally, was a major breakthrough in my relationship to music and my life as an improviser. As those of you who are improvisers or have improvised know, improvisation is one of those things you keep coming back to for the hopes of the magical moment that's all too elusive. And not only are these magical moments elusive enough to have something like that happen in public, where, you know, where people can witness this great thing happening is rarer. The same thing is true with having it happen in front of a microphone. And for me personally, it did happen in front of the microphone for the last piece that I recorded for Vermis, a guitar solo that I titled Katie Did. There was something about this. I had put the guitar, an old 1940s Silvertone flat top acoustic guitar, in an open tuning I had never messed with before, and that was part of what I was doing. You know, throw the guitar into an unfamiliar tuning, hit a couple notes, turn on the microphone, and record whatever happens. And something for me personally very special and important happened when Katie Did occurred. It was one of those moments where I felt like I was an observer or a listener to something that was happening that I had very little control of. It happened to me, and I was there for it. It's hard to describe these things, but this is a very important recording for me, in that it is an example of, for me personally, the beauty of the zone. Here's Katie Did. Thank you. that was Katie did from my album Vermis. And again, as I said, that was an important breakthrough for me as an improviser, that could happen in front of a microphone. And it's a special piece for me. That guitar, the Silvertone guitar I played on Katie Did, was the source of a lot of interesting improvisations, because it was such a frustratingly difficult instrument to play. It forced me to play in ways that I was unused to. And it was also something, it was an instrument that responded well to these crazy tunings. I recorded an entire record documenting my struggling relationship with this guitar, and I called it Grendel. I named it after the guitar itself, but I called Grendel because it was sort of like a beast you had to do battle with. Grendel is a 45-minute improvisation, so I'm not going to include any of that in this program, but anybody out there who wishes to hear Grendel, drop me a note, care of this podcast, or Bhagiti, Bhagiti, at yahoo.com, and I'll send you a copy of Grendel. In fact, if you're interested in any of the recordings, drop me a note, and I'll send you a disc. No charge, just if you're interested, I'll send you one. I appreciate your interest. I always do. Anyway, I would like to at least play one more improvisation that I made on Grendel, and this was an improvisation that came out that I felt had a very, I don't know, the sound of it seemed kind of European, and it, for whatever reason, reminded me of Django Reinhardt. So here's an improvisation from my record Detritus, and it's called Django. Thank you. That was Django from my CD Detritus. And as I said, that was an improvisation that, to my ear anyway, evoked a sort of European kind of sound quality, especially European Impressionism. Composers like Ravel and Debussy were people that Django Reinhardt, the great gypsy jazz guitarist, admired greatly. Well, one more piece to close out this show. And the reason why I'm going to include this last piece is because it reflects areas of technique that I've explored because of being an improviser. Sometimes in a quest for new sounds or new effects, or to my mind anyway, the ability to create multiple voices, that is, different musical elements occurring at the same time, have forced me into or inspired me to try different techniques on the guitar. One of which is banging on the guitar percussively, which is something that the great American guitarist Michael Hedges did to probably the greatest effect. I don't think that folks will equal Hedges' creativity and exploration of the instrument. In my area, I've done some of that, but also different things. I've used a capo in ways that guitar players oftentimes don't use capos. Generally, these are the devices you clamp on the neck to raise the pitch of the string so you can change keys without having to change fingerings. In my case, anyway, I found out that it creates other musical areas of the guitar to explore. In this piece, I Float Dancing, it was part of my record, Guitar Soli. What I did is I had a small Larravee parlor guitar tuned to an open tuning, and I put a capo on about the 7th fret, and I discovered that if I strummed the strings on the wrong side of the capo, that is, the space between the tuners and the capo, behind the capo, I got this harp effect, or a kodo effect. And I found out that I could actually strum those strings, or pluck them, as I would a harp, or a psaltery, or a koto, with my right hand, and I could hammer on and pull off a melody with my left hand on the proper side of the capo. So it gives the illusion that there are two different instruments playing together. But actually, it was recorded live in real time, and it was an improvisation. This is I Float Dancing. ¶¶ That was I Float Dancing from my CD Guitar Soli, an example of a guitar improvisation where I attempted to simulate the sound of two different instruments playing at the same time by using a capo in the middle of the fingerboard of the guitar, playing one type of sound on one side of the capo and another type of sound or melody on the other side. In terms of my own guitar playing, one of the projects on my plate right now is that I'm finishing work on a record of arrangements, not improvisations, a welcome kind of change for me. And in fact, I'm working on arranging the music of Don Campo for solo guitar, and Don's music was featured in the first episode of Essential Sound. So if you haven't heard that yet, get thee back to the beginning and check out that episode where Don talks about his music and examples of some of his pieces. I want to thank you for listening today, and do remember that any of the recordings that I've mentioned here today that I have available are yours for the asking. You may email me courtesy of this podcast. There's a send email button here on the page. Or you can email me at my Yahoo account, which is bhagiti@yahoo.com. That's bhagiti@yahoo.com. And certainly I also encourage any feedback about these programs, positive or negative. If there are folks you know of, or if you are an underground, non-mainstream, or independent recording artist, and you feel that your music or your friend's music is deserving of wider recognition, please drop me a note. I love hearing from musicians and friends of musicians, and it would be great to maybe offer you the opportunity to be featured on one of these broadcasts. I'm planning many of them, and I have a couple others in the works now as we speak. As I said, I may also look at some of my own music, the other aspects of my own music too, my electric music and music that I've recorded under the pseudonym Bhagiti in the four-track cassette days of the 80s and early 90s for me. But anyway, those are the subjects for later episodes. Thanks again for listening. Stay tuned for more. I'm Eric, and see you next time.